Hey y'all, Kat here, and I have an exciting announcement. We are kicking off the first ever KSA book club, and you are invited. This is a completely free book club that the team and I want to put together, and our first book is my absolute favorite business book, Traction by Gina Wickham. We're going to kick off on February 19th, and when you join and you read Traction alongside of us, you're going to learn how to streamline, simplify, and honestly just take back control of your business without adding more to your plate. You're finally going to get time to work on your business, not just in it. So here's how it works. We're kicking off on February 19th, and we are going to meet every Wednesday at 2 p.m. for 5 weeks. We'll discuss the book and how it applies specifically to you and your small business in 2025. So if you feel like your business is running you instead of the other way around, you definitely don't want to miss this book club. Whether you're a solopreneur or you're leading a small team, Traction will help you streamline all of the operations that you have going on, tackle your biz goals, and ultimately just take your business to the next level in 2025. If you're ready to join, you can grab your free spot. It's totally free, you guys. You can grab your spot now. You can start reading with us. Just click the link in the show notes to sign up. You'll get all of the details, and I cannot wait to see you on Zoom on February 19th at 2 p.m. for our very first KSA book club meeting.
Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Think Like an Integrator. It is officially April, which means it is the second quarter of the year. Y'all know I love quarterly planning. So I'm all about kind of breaking down our business. We've wrapped up Q1, we're stepping into Q2, and I thought that it would be really helpful to bring Samantha back onto the podcast. You guys have gotten to know her a few times now, but Samantha's kind of like the content calendar queen. I feel like we use the term queen maybe for like a couple of different things, but that's totally fine. She is really, really great. Great at working with our visionaries to break down a strategic content calendar and what your overall content plan should be. And I know that for some of you guys, it can feel really overwhelming to create some sort of content plan. Either there's, you know, just too many ideas or too many things going on. And so something that we want to do in this particular episode is break down kind of the overall content framework. How can you organize, schedule, and repurpose? Because we want you to work smarter, not harder, and have a content calendar that feels really robust, but is also, again, really organized, scheduled out well with some rock solid workflows, and also repurposing what you can. So Samantha's back today, and we are going to dig into all of that. So Samantha, thank you so much for jumping on. And I would love for you, like, let's just kick it off and kind of talk about why is content planning such a like kind of secret weapon? That's not really so secret. We don't want it to be so secret, but like, how is it such a secret weapon for digital marketing?
Yeah, I love all things content planning. So really excited to dive into this today. The reason why it is a secret weapon for your business is because it's really important to have a strategy behind your content. So you're just not throwing spaghetti at the wall. You know, if you have a plan and you track your data, you can really see what works for your audience and then build on that.
I love that. I love that. And I mentioned this when we were doing that little bit of an intro, but we've worked with a lot of different visionaries on their content plans. And I feel like we've run into a couple of different challenges that visionaries face. And so I want you guys listening to this to like feel very seen and not feel alone in potentially resonating with some of these challenges. And that way we can break them down and figure out like the best solutions for you, you know, based on how you are potentially relating to a challenge when it comes to your content calendar. So something that I feel like I've seen and a good bit of the clients that I've worked with have been too many platforms and not enough structure, or too many offers and not enough structure, like in those In everything that you're trying to do. So you're either trying to be on too many different places at once. You're thinking about YouTube and podcasting and Instagram and email marketing and blogging. And it just feels, just that list alone is kind of overwhelming to think about all of those different places. Or maybe you feel like you have too many offers and you're not quite sure when to talk about what. When do you talk about growing your email list? When do you talk about this freebie? When do you talk about that freebie? When do you talk about the service that you are offering or coaching or a mastermind or the digital course, like so many different things. And so we want to help streamline all of the things that you have to talk about and all of the platforms that you could be so that you feel really organized. And so that's like the first step of our content framework is organizing all of that information. So that you know what you want to talk about and where you should talk about it. So when we're thinking about organizing, you, Samantha, are so great at like all the tools. Like I feel like you're just really good at like keeping track of all of that information. So I'd love for you to touch on a couple of the tools that you use with our clients when organizing all of their content.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I love Miro because it's a really great visual tool. So you can see like where all your freebies are leading and have a really nice visual of that. We also love Trello and Asana with our clients to create that full content calendar inside of those tools to have the full layout and the high overview. And then we also love a good offer tracker inside of a Google spreadsheet that really shows what all offers are there. And then if there's even multiple ones like sales offers, funnels offers to really keep track of everything. So when you are planning, you have everything laid out really nicely to use and execute from there.
I've really loved that we've started to use Miro more with our clients. And so that's definitely a tool. I don't think we've really talked about it a ton on the podcast yet. So we'll make sure that we link it in the description and you can create a free account. There is a paid version. So there are a few more, you know, bells and whistles with the paid version, but the free account is great to essentially give you like a mind map. And it, like Samantha said, it really is a visual representation. And I can't tell you how many times, even in my own brand, Samantha was just digging into our own email marketing system because we were like, where does this one freebie go again? Like what, like this sounds bad that I don't remember, you know, how many emails are after they download this freebie and what are they being funneled to afterward? And we should potentially be more strategic with this one and things like that. And so Miro serves as just that extra little assistant. Where when you can't remember, because we're human and we have so many things in our brains, and you want to be able to jump to a tool that has it all outlined for you. And then it's really helpful for you to see like, okay, great. So these three freebies are all pitching this one product. I'm now creating a new product. So let me reinvent this a little bit and let's adjust. I want this freebie to now go to this other product or vice versa. And so just again, having that visual, even though it does take a little bit of time to create, will be really, really helpful in the long run. And so we definitely want to recommend that before you just jump right into content, have like spend some time organizing all of the information that you have, like all of those offers, all of those freebies, so that you don't feel the overwhelm of too many things. And instead we can start to see a clear system of what is in place and like, what would you want to talk about? It's important because we want you to know what you're promoting and why you are promoting it. So having clarity on your offers can really ensure that your messaging is consistent and effective. So if you know this one freebie directly goes to this product, it gives you even more power in your messaging on what you can talk about to get people to opt into that freebie, knowing the solution that you're going to provide for them when they opt in. That, you know, just an example there. So Samantha, what are some other like kind of ways that it could be important for them to kind of understand why they are promoting certain things in their like content marketing?
Yeah, I really think it's important to understand the goals of each offer just to overall help know like where they're going to lead to. And then that really helps prevent any content overwhelm when you are planning.
Yes, for sure. All about the goal setting. So having that is really great. And that's another reason why we liked, I wanted to give you guys this episode at the beginning of Q2 because hopefully you're thinking about your Q2 plans and what offers you would like to have more of an emphasis on. What are some of your revenue goals for Q2? And so knowing like, okay, what is the point? Like, what am I trying to do? Can help give you a little bit more confidence in how you're moving forward with the content plan. Another thing that is really, really helpful when it comes to thinking about organizing all of the content that you want to create. And now this isn't necessarily platform focused. This is just in general, what content do you want to talk about? Is having a monthly theme or a like a launch plan, like we just said. Again, just have that plan. So I'd love for you to dig more into this, Samantha, because I feel like you're really great at working with our clients on each month or even each quarter. What is the sole focus of the content calendar?
Yeah, for sure. So you can break this up into different like themes or goals. You can have just like an overall revenue goal for the month or the quarter to really be focused on, knowing which offers and things you're going to point to. Or you can have like a main freebie push that month or even that quarter that you have maybe a funnel on the back end that you can convert there. And then we also see a lot of content themes that push organic content. We have a client right now who has weekly themes. So all of her blogs and emails and social posts, everything is talking about that theme. And we see that that is, it helps have consistency across the board in all of those different platforms. So that's been a really great process to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's also helpful to kind of tack into the freebies or the content theme when you have evergreen strategies too. So like these same strategies that we're talking about can be used in a live launch scenario and also with an evergreen product. So an example with a live launch is, say in the month of May, you are opening up your course, like you're going to do a webinar, you're going to live launch your course. Well, then April would be a time to start priming for that coming in May. If you have a freebie associated with that live launch, start talking about that freebie more in your content calendar to get people on your list that are specifically coming in from a freebie that's directly related to that live launch. You can do the exact same thing with the evergreen strategy. So having pillar content, having, you know, content that speaks to aspects of the evergreen product, knowing that, okay, you might not be doing a live launch in May, but you want to boost sales. Like now would be the time, like maybe you have a course on posing for photographers and you know, like, well, a lot of photographers are shooting in the springtime. So they're likely shooting in April and May and then thinking, I need some help with posing. I'm feeling kind of stuck when I'm at my shoot and I don't know what to do. So instead of live launching, if you have that product on evergreen or you have a free resource that goes along with that pain point that you know your audience is facing, you can start talking about that in those months. And that's going to lead directly to your evergreen offer that you have. And I know, Samantha, we were talking about another client that you have that's doing something similar right now.
Yeah. So we also like to identify which offers drive the most revenue versus which ones build the most trust. So we do have a client right now who is having a product of the month. So all of her marketing is pointing to that one product. And we tracked all of her products during Black Friday to see which ones were the top performing. And now those are all up for product of the month. So now we can really see which ones are really revenue driven versus ones that are really built to gain that trust with their audience and build that there.
So helpful. And that is such a data-oriented decision, you know, to look back at a shop sale and say like, okay, what did well? Now, how can we really highlight and get even more strategic with all of the content around that one offer on a monthly basis? I love that. And I've been really excited to see how things in Lola's brand have been like performing like since she's been doing that. So that's awesome. With that in mind, that is a great kind of lead into the next part that I wanted to talk about was like prioritizing offers. So again, going back to maybe you're listening to this and you have that pain point where you feel like you have a couple of different things and you're kind of struggling with what do I promote when? So, I mean, that example from Lola is a great one of, okay, well, let's do some monthly themes based on products that have done well in the past. But I'd love to hear a little bit more from you on, like, is there something that we feel like we could, like, potentially even outside of that, like, and I mentioned, like, knowing your audience. So in the photographer's example of posing, if you just know, like, your people are shooting right now, then having something that directly relates to, like, a question that they ask. And so that's something that I would kind of put back on you guys. If you're not in a situation like Lola, where maybe you have data from a past shop sale and you can have a product a month, maybe you can just think about putting yourself in the audience, in the shoes of your audience, I guess is the best way to say that, and think about, okay, but what are they struggling with right now? Like, what are big questions that they have? And do you have an offer or just a freebie? But do you have something that solves that need? And even maybe you don't have an offer or a freebie, but even just content in general that you can start putting out there around that pain point would be a great way to kind of loop in prioritizing what to talk about when for your audience. So then getting into kind of now second part of this. So we talked about, you know, with this whole content framework, we want to organize the content, we want to schedule out the content, and then we want to repurpose the content. So we talked a little bit about how to organize the content. Now let's talk about how to actually create the content calendar with a schedule that feels consistent and realistic. And so we've mentioned this several times already, you guys, like, we're all about those, like, monthly themes and or making sure you're planning quarterly. So you could do a little bit of both. You can, of course, plan out the next 3 months thinking about monthly themes, or maybe you have 6 weeks is one theme and 6 weeks is another theme, you know, and you're doing it like that instead of, like, straight 3 months. Either way, you're looking at 90 days because that's going to help you with just overall revenue goals and overall content goals. So I'd love to really dig into, like, kind of understanding quarterly goals and what some of, like, the target focus can be when thinking about Did it cut out right there?
Yeah, a little bit there.
Okay. So I'd love to understand a little bit more about what, like, the target focus can be when we're thinking about quarterly goals.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend looking at what's all happening in that quarter. So do you have any promotionals happening? Do you have any big sales happening? Even in your personal life, is it back to school time or is it just a busy season for you? Like, definitely take all that into account for your whole quarter and then just look at that high view, and then you can start piecing together those 3 months. So for example, if you're launching a new course or a new product in Q1, you need to plan and kind of have your pre-launch content ready to go in Q1 to help prime that. So if you have kind of your full overview, what is all happening in that quarter, then you can really niche down and start looking at to what can happen each month and then each week.
Absolutely. I love that because I want a goal to always be realistic. And that's why I think it's great, Samantha, when you mentioned, like, of course we want to look at business things. What is the revenue goal? You know, what are, you know, kind of monthly minimums that you need to make sure you're hitting and things like that. But we also need to factor in, like, the personal side of things too. So is it back to school time? Is it summer vacation? Like, just what's going on? Because if you tell yourself, like, well, I'm going to do 2 podcasts a week for the next 3 months. And then you're like, well, actually, I didn't think about, like, spring break or, you know, traveling Memorial Day weekend or, you know, any of those things. You're going to set yourself up for failure, honestly, or you're just going to end up becoming really stressed out and resentful of the content work that you decided to do. So I love the idea of, like, having that balance and knowing that, you know, of course you can try to schedule in some batch days or, you know, some things to make creating some of that content easier, but still having a balance with it all. So I think that's great. Do we feel like it's any different? Like, if we're working with a client that says, okay, Samantha, I have a live launch happening in Q2, is that different than when we're contemplating than working with a client who just wants evergreen offers, like, throughout the quarter? Like, how would we kind of content plan that differently? Or would we, I guess?
Yeah, I feel like you would kind of bring those together so that way you don't have too much overlap, because you don't want to overwhelm your audience with too many things. So if you do have a live lunch going on, I would definitely make that top priority, because those are hard dates. And then you can kind of pepper your evergreen content in around that. So then that way you can really have a focus around the launch, but you still have your funnels running on the other times.
Yeah, that's great. And something else to kind of go on with the, you know, scheduling content, something we talked about in book club a couple of times was creating processes for the work that we're doing. And we had quite a few solopreneurs in book club, which was awesome. We read the book Traction. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do it as our first book club book was because I think more solopreneurs should read it. But solopreneurs tend to not want to read it because it is a book that's focused on team. I personally read it when I was a solopreneur. I just brought on a VA for 5 hours a week. So I was like just dipping my toes into like team building when I first read the book. And there's just so many great mindset shifts inside of that book. And one of the things is about creating processes. And I gave you guys a little bit of that backstory. I promise there's a point to like content. You're like, Kat, why are you rambling about this book? Is because for those of you guys listening to this, if you are a solopreneur, or maybe it's just you and your VA, I want you to still have a very clear system for the schedule. Samantha and I have talked before about Trello and Asana, some sort of task management system, I think is very important. Honestly, even if it's just you, like you want to remember what steps have been done when you are scheduling your weekly email or scheduling the weekly blog or recording that podcast or working on those reels. Or if you're batching, it's just nice to have the schedule ahead of time and know like, okay, yeah, I did. I sat down, I made my content plan for Q2, and this is kind of what's expected of me. And then you can add things to your priority to-do list and know that you have that like broken down. So I kind of want to end our little scheduling conversation just really challenging you guys to put it somewhere. Create a Trello board, create an Asana board. Honestly, if those feel overwhelming to you and you'd rather just make a Google Doc and just type, you know, bulleted list of all the things that are happening with each of those pieces of content, that's okay too. Just get something on paper so that it feels a little bit more official, and hopefully it will actually get done when you have it written down like in black and white. Now, the last step of this process is repurposing. So remember, content framework, we want to organize the content, we want to schedule the content, and then we want to repurpose, because work smarter, not harder, everyone. That should be like the mantra for this episode. We don't want you to just live in a content cave forever and ever. We want you to repurpose it all. So would love, Samantha, for you to just like in general, what is repurposing and how is it helpful for digital businesses?
Yeah, for sure. So repurposing is essentially taking one form of content and creating multiple different contents from that. So I really love that it saves time, of course. And then it also helps reach different audiences in different platforms. And then it really helps with keeping messaging consistent across the platform. So it really helps build brand awareness, which is really great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because that's part of the key, I love that you mentioned the like brand awareness or excuse me, the, well, brand awareness, yes, but more so like the messaging of the brand consistent. You don't have to try to figure out, well, how do I say the same thing 6 different times? Like you can just repurpose it slightly and actually say the same thing across 6 different platforms. It doesn't have to be a totally different way to say it. I always like to explain content repurposing like the like a wagon wheel, where you would have the center piece of content. And so you just have to decide what is your central form of content. For the KS brand right now, it's our podcast. So our podcast is that center of the wagon wheel. And then all of the spokes off of that center of the wheel are various ways that we repurpose the same thing. So a blog post, a weekly email, an Instagram reel, an Instagram story, an Instagram feed post, like 3 different spots of Instagram, like all right there going, you know, pointing to the same thing. So just thinking about it, hopefully in that perspective, makes it feel a little bit easier when you're thinking about weekly ongoing content.
Yeah, I love that. There's a lot of different things you can do with repurposing. So like if you have a long form video, like a YouTube video, you can create that and make a YouTube clip or an Instagram reel or a TikTok and then a LinkedIn post. You know, you can do a lot there. With a client we mentioned earlier doing her weekly themes, we write a blog. And then from that blog, we're writing a newsletter, we're writing social posts, and all those things are coming from one form of content. So it's really great to have like the main hub to then write on.
For sure, for sure. And I love that we can, again, like we don't have to say it differently every time. We just want to fit with the algorithm. So in, you know, the video scenario you just gave, of course, the video posted on YouTube, like the long form video, that's going to be different than what's the YouTube short or what's the Instagram reel. Like it is going to be slight variations, but it can still be so similar that you don't have to refilm all of these things. Like things can be clipped out. Same thing for, you know, when I first mentioned the podcast episode, you know, the blog is going to be more SEO driven. It's going to have keywords. It's going to have things in there that are a little bit different than the email newsletter. That one might be a little bit more storytelling, talking about the podcast, what's going on there. Same thing for the Instagram feed post. Maybe it's like a carousel. So it's a swipe. So it's a little bit more factual based on like the three tips that were shared in the podcast. But either way, all of those pieces of content are talking about the same thing initially, which I just think is great. And again, can save you so much time and then put yourself and put your brand out there, attracting other people on all of those different platforms. So let's get into like specifics on platforms. What works best where and where should people start? So I'd love for you to kind of, Samantha, take us through like talking about some of the different platforms for marketing.
Yeah, for sure. So like blog and Pinterest, that's very like SEO and like searchability features there. So that's a good if you're trying to build on SEO. Instagram and TikTok is more of them quick wins, that short form engagement content. So that's a really good platform there as well. The email marketing, like you said, really helps that communication and just to build the value and the trust with your audience through those storytelling copy there. And then, of course, YouTube and podcast is more of that long form trust building content. So each of them have different features, but if you kind of have a hand in all of them, you kind of get a full marketing wheelhouse there.
Absolutely. And I remember when I first started really digging into, you know, wanting to have several different forms of marketing, you know, happening at once, I picked three. And so that would be my recommendation for you guys listening is just look at three, because even though there are some really great ways to repurpose content, we don't want you to spread yourself too thin. So I think if you pick three forms, that gives you a great system to start with. It gives you, again, like you're creating a Trello board or a Google Doc outlet, like whatever you're doing to kind of start to create the process of scheduling all of this content and being consistent with those three. And then you can jump into other areas. Our team, again, like we focus with podcast. We have clients that are on YouTube. Of course, we're doing email marketing. That's like the lifeblood of so many of the businesses that, you know, we're working with. We also do Instagram. So really trying to like kind of pick and choose for yourself and for your brand. If you're not sure where to start, ask yourself where your audience is. That's going to be like a great like green flag, like a go in that direction, because of course you want to be where your people are. And when you just get started, you'll also start to see like, well, are people here? Like, is this working? Like, for example, I'm not on TikTok right now. I actually don't even have a TikTok account. So I have no idea. Maybe that would work for us. I just have never gone in that direction. We've put a ton of effort behind blog and SEO and gotten amazing clients from Google search. So I know that long form searchability works really, really well for our agency. So I've put a lot more skin in that game than in the TikTok game, because I know as of right now where I feel like my audience is. So again, just kind of think through where is your audience and then kind of pick three spaces that you can start with there. When you have those three and you start repurposing, so you organize your content, you schedule out your content, and now you're jumping into repurposing in those three, we don't want you to just repurpose on a whim. We want you to have some strategy so that you're not reinventing the wheel. every single time that you are creating content. So I'd love for you to talk, Samantha, about how visionaries can track the content that they are producing to see if it's really working in all of those places.
Yeah. So we love a good scorecard for our clients. That is so helpful to have the monthly breakdown of all the numbers. So we're looking at like Instagram followers, email list growth. We're looking at funnel numbers and opt-ins. So that way we can see, okay, we promoted this freebie all month. This is how many people that we were able to get onto the list. Or even looking at revenue, you know, if we're doing the product of the month, we're tracking that product of the month, and then we can see which one is overall most profitable. So definitely the scorecard is a really great way to monthly look at those numbers. We also like to look at mini chat analytics. So that's really helpful, seeing like how many runs is happening, what are your audiences resonating with, which of your opt-ins, and just overall knowing where your leads are coming from and what platforms they are coming from.
Numbers don't lie. And I think that so many people get so nervous to look at numbers. Again, going back to our book club that just wrapped up, we talked about data and numbers. That's an entire chapter in the Book of Traction. And I mean, we were all on the same, everyone in the virtual Zoom room, we were like, numbers are kind of scary. Like, I get it. It's not always fun to look at numbers, but they really don't lie. And so having a monthly check-in with yourself where you are looking at these things that Samantha just mentioned would be really helpful for the information that you want moving forward as you are continuing to, you know, create new content and as you're seeing what's resonating and how you can loop things back in. Like, for example, we realized in our monthly marketing meeting that our marketing funnel freebie was the highest performing on our mini chat, which was shocking. Like, I mean, we were talking about a lot of different freebies. So I guess that's shocking. It's not like I think that's like a bad freebie or something. It was just like eye-opening, like, oh, people really like this one. So then we made a conscious effort to promote it even more the following month because we saw how well it did. And not only did we decide to make a better effort in promoting that one, but that's when Samantha jumped into our email marketing system and was like, well, when people come into this funnel, where do they go? And how could we make this one funnel even stronger because we're seeing the analytics on MiniChat and we're seeing that people like it. And those are all very tangible things that you guys can do. If you see that something is working well, okay, well, then what can you do with that information? How can you make it even stronger? And that's ultimately what we want. So I hope this was helpful. Samantha, I would love to hear kind of as we close out, like a tip that our listeners can implement specifically in Q2 or even in the month of April alone when it comes to their content calendar and using this content framework to organize, schedule, and repurpose their content.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. I want you to pick one form of content to focus on this month. So that can be a blog, that could be a newsletter, that could be Instagram, whatever that you think your audience is at and you're ready to tackle. So once you have that picked out, then write your entire process or your workflow for that. So if you chose a blog, your checklist will look like picking the blog topic, writing the blog draft, scheduling the blog, like every single thing you have to do to complete that workflow. And then open up your calendar and mark a few blocks this month to actually do those workflows. So that way they're on your calendar, you have your checklist, and you're ready to go.
I feel like we were just on like a client call. You're like, okay, here we go. This is exactly what you're going to do. Like, it's so good. I hope that was motivating for you guys. Please feel free to reach out to Samantha and I if you have follow-up questions, whether that's like a one-on-one, like something very specific in your brand as you're planning out your content calendar. Like, we'd love to kind of dig into that with you. You can shoot us a DM or you can send our team an email, hello@catchmoyer.com, and we would love to connect. So thank you guys for listening. Samantha, as always, thanks for jumping back on. I appreciate it so much. And I will talk to you guys next week.